To find out more about the role of the sibling bond in terror groups, I spoke with psychologist John Horgan, professor at the Global Studies Institute and Department of Psychology at Georgia State University. He studies terrorist behaviour, and I began by asking him what he makes of the fact that so many recent terror attacks involved brothers.
It's actually quite a common phenomenon. In fact, it's surprising to me that we tend to forget that throughout the history of terrorism, it's been quite common for siblings, whether pairs of brothers, pairs of sisters, sometimes brothers and sisters, to become involved. I think certainly the research would suggest to us that there are two issues here that are interesting. I mean, the first has to do with the circumstances under which people are recruited, and then the second issue has to do with how siblings are viewed from the perspective of the terrorist organization. So on the first issue, in terms of how people are recruited, it is quite common, especially in ethnic or nationalist terrorist groups and increasingly religiously motivated terrorist groups, for siblings to be radicalized and recruited from the same household. And that dynamic, more often than not, tends to be an older sibling who is starting to become radicalized, starting to show an interest in getting involved in this kind of scene, this kind of lifestyle. And the younger sibling is taking notice and basically looking to come along for the ride.
What is the advantage then for recruiters in getting siblings involved?
I think there are two sets of advantages. So the first has to do with the fear of infiltration. I've interviewed a lot of terrorist recruiters over the years, and I typically ask them the same question over and over. I say, you know, talk me through a typical day in your life. What are the kinds of things that you are concerned about? And I can tell you time and time and time again, they say, I don't worry about the security services, or I don't worry about surveillance. I worry about the person next to me. I worry about whether or not the person to my left or the person to my right is a spy or an infiltrator or someone who has been compromised. That is the issue that occupies the concern of so many senior personnel in terrorist movements. So when they see a pair of siblings looking to become involved, they tend to let their radars down a little bit. And they tend to assume that, well, if there's a pair of siblings getting involved, they must be the real deal. They must be either very, very naive, or they must be so dedicated that we can readily deploy them or train them up for an operation. There's a second issue, however, that's a little less obvious, but from my perspective as a psychologist, I'm really interested in this. And that is the fact that we notice that when siblings are recruited to a terrorist movement, they tend to be deployed very often for the same operation. And we don't have hard evidence on why that's the case, but we think it's attractive from the organization's point of view because it ensures a much greater chance of success if siblings go off to an operation together than not.
Why is that?
Because the success of terrorist operations is based primarily on effective group psychology. It's about maintaining a very special bond of commitment and focus, even when you are under tremendous pressure to succeed for this operation. And so if you and I are brother and sister and we are being deployed in the same operation and you have already blown yourself up, there is tremendous pressure on me to go through with that and to follow you into whether it's my expectation of an afterlife or at least not letting the side down. But there's very little chance that I will change my mind if my sibling has already gone through with it.
You're still listening to DW's WorldLink, brought to you from Germany, and we're speaking with psychologist John Horgan about the role of the sibling bond in terrorism. And John, I wanted to ask you, what of the role of the parents and other family members in this? Because, for example, in the case of several of the Brussels and Paris attackers, their parents and other siblings have publicly said that they had no idea what was going on. So what can you tell us about this dynamic?
Unfortunately, it's not surprising to learn that the parents didn't really know much about what their children were doing. I mean, on one level, I mean, you know, for any of us, I mean, would our parents know what we're up to on a day-to-day basis? Probably not. But it's a common story for parents to report that they are as shocked and alarmed as anybody else and not really having any clear sense of what their children were engaged in or committed to. And it it sort of very much sends the message that their children were committed to a double life, one that was completely removed from the family situation, one that was completely removed from the day-to-day minutiae of just going about family business. That's not surprising at all. It's very, very common. And if anything, the research would indicate that it's not so much the parents of these young people who would be best positioned to spot the signs of radical behavior. It's actually their peers. Those are the ones best positioned to spot the signs of violent extremism in its early stages.
A lot of the factors which you mentioned before as advantages for terrorist recruiters in terms of that family bond, and I'll recap: the reduced fear of infiltration and what might be seen as a higher chance of siblings deployed together actually going through with their missions. These things would also present as disadvantages for counter-terrorism. What then, in your experience, can be done to combat this?
That's a great question. I think despite the fact that we know more and more about the intense family dynamics often involved in terrorism, that realization and that knowledge seems to be completely oblivious to people who engage in counterterrorism planning and policy. Now, we don't know an awful lot yet about the risk factors for involvement in terrorism, but we do know this for sure. The two most reliable risk factors for getting involved in terrorism is if you are a young person and if there is an older sibling in your family who's already involved. I don't yet see those kinds of dynamics being considered as far as having any preventative implications so far. So we are still very, very far behind when it comes to thinking through those issues. There's far more emphasis these days in counterterrorism on electronic surveillance and death by drone, as we refer to it here.